pressing the self-destruct button.
Maniac is imminent. Request advice.
With a firm tone of voice, command Maniac lie down, hands behind back.
Well, that was a nice move, dumbass.
Marsha, Marsha, Marsha!
I got news for you, pal. You ain't leading but two things right now. Jack and shit. Jack left town.
I always say if you don't feel like a pervert, you ought to act like one.
Upload everything. I want to get it all on the internet tonight.
This is my boomstick! The 12-gauge double-barreled Remington. S-Mart, top of the line. Find this in the sporting goods department. That's right, this sweet baby was made in Grand Rapids, Michigan. Retails for about $109.95. Got a walnut stock, cobalt blue steel, and a hair trigger.
I'm sorry, Dave. I'm afraid I can't do that.
You got one person online, the workload is enough for like 10 users. I think we got a hacker.
I want to get online. I need it! I'm coming for Scooter!
I can carry nearly 80 gigs of data in my head. Implant. Wet wire. I had to dump a chunk of long-term memory.
Did you bring me a monkey?
Leroy Jenkins!
Guess what? I got a fever. And the only prescription is more cowbell.
Warning, warning, Spankwagon Radio is now on the air.
It's
Spankwagon Radio.
Oh, shit!
Ladies and gentlemen! It's Friday night, live for you guys who are listening live, not so live for everybody else.
You guys suck. Dude, is my mic like super low or is it just me?
Actually, I don't know. My ears are low though today. I can't hear stuff as loud
my
as
my ears are high, but I can barely hear myself.
I don't know. Maybe it's that manic depressive side of you coming out on the mic. Ladies and gentlemen, it is Friday night. It is 7 o'clock local here in Vegas. It's whatever time it says on your walls around you.
Those walls are padded.
Yeah! I'm your host, Trencher.
And I'm Murphy.
And you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon.net.
Well, that's the website.
Oh, sorry.
Try that again. You're listening to the greatest radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
Thank you. You are down. You're just all mopey and shit. Get the fuck out of the studio if you're mopey.
I had a bad day.
You had a bad day. I think we've all had a bad fucking week.
I had a nigga moment.
Oh, how'd you do? What?
Oh, we'll talk about it later. Let's do this thing. Let's do like we usually do.
Well, I don't know, man. We may have to change this up just because you're all like somber and shit.
No, I had a nigga moment today. I had a close call with a nigga moment. I'll put it at that.
Tell us.
I was Well, people who know me in real life know I'm a fairly polite guy. It's always please and thank you, excuse me, you know, stuff like that. I'm holding doors open for people, you know, shit like that.
Right.
And I'm heading out of one of my places, and there's a guy walking towards me, and couldn't have been more than maybe 19, and it was a white kid, but you wouldn't know it by the way he was acting, dressed, and portraying himself to be. And as I walked out, I made my little move to get out of the way, and he didn't move, and just, you know, you get that whole shoulder bump.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, in my... Okay.
Sorry.
What the hell was that?
I hit a button. Watch. It turned everything off in the background. It's only localizing my mic, I believe.
That's creepy.
Let's see if I can localize.
Yeah, I can. You should leave that on. That'd be great.
Oh, that's interesting. So, I didn't know that. What does this one do? This switches between the one and two on the board. Okay.
I have my my big red toolbox that I carry with me.
Big red toolbox.
Yes. And my my clipboard. And as I'm walking out, you know,
it's
of
like
course,
office hardware nerd.
Exactly. And he smacks into my shoulder, and it's the arm that I'm carrying. You know, it's my right arm, so I've got my toolbox in it.
Okay.
And I'm like, oh, excuse me. And he goes, yeah, you better wash the fuck out. And dude, I am one day away from vacation, so everything inside of my head just snapped.
Uh-oh.
And I turned around and I said, what the fuck is your issue? And he's like, well, watch where you're fucking going, man. I'm like, dude, I fucking moved. Do I need to come over here and split your fucking skull?
Ah, damn.
Yeah.
So you basically just walked up and said, you know, because he had copped an attitude. You're like, well, fuck this. Fuck this. Fuck your attitude. Fuck everything.
Yep, and that was my nigga moment. I saw it
full
just flash out right there and...
You said, excuse me. You took the polite road first.
Oh, yeah. And I moved out of the guy's way. And I you know, assumed I would make my half step to the left. He would make his half step to my right. And we would pass like ships in the night. And unfortunately, my little move wasn't enough.
Jesus Christ. Well, that guy's
and
an
I know,
asshole.
Well, I know it hurt him, too, because when he hit me, his thigh smashed right into the block end of my,
good.
My toolbox.
Fucking good for him.
So, yeah, he turned around and walked into the bank. And the security guard just stood there smiling at me. So... yeah, that was so I don't know.
Wow. So this is kind of getting a feel of what's going on today. All right. I see.
Yeah, and I see. As you know, I've had a bad week.
You've had a horrible week.
We'll
get to that in just a second here. Yep. You are listening, like I said, to the greatest internet radio show ever. You're listening to Spank Wagon Radio. I'm Trencher, he's Murphy. And if you want to join us tonight, well, we of course know that if you're listening live, we appreciate that. But we also want to say that if you are willing to join us in other ways, such as you can give us a call. We have a toll-free number. You can call us anywhere in the continental United States and including Canada. Ooh. Yeah. Ooh. Fucking say ooh. Thank you. A little more with feeling.
If it's Canadian, so you go, ooh.
Hey. You can give us a call by dialing 1-866-587-6257. If you're local Vegas or want to pay long distance, it's area code 702-383-8120.
Does anyone actually pay for long distance anymore?
You know, if they got a cell phone and they're smart, no. Or they got a Vonage or another VoIP system that doesn't charge for long distance. Because that's like one of the biggest rackets that's finally starting to go away.
I got to VoIP my ass.
Ba-dum-bum. What are you doing?
I just turned off my phone.
Oh, see, I got both of my ringers on. You can fuck with me and turn... I think both of my ringers are turned up sky high, too, so you'll hear me, like, dodge in the middle of a call.
We'll leave it on just in case Gorilla decides he's going to call me tonight.
Well, if he calls you on that line and not on this line, what the fuck's wrong with him?
He's an idiot.
Oh, well, he's right up there with your cast of characters for
last
Friends.
Last week he was a drunken idiot. It was great.
After the show went out to Buffalo Wild Wings. How'd that go?
Oh, that was actually really great. Me and Gorilla and Gorilla's woman went there, and nobody else showed up. I didn't expect anyone would, but sat there, and we got pleasantly drunk, and I ate an entire basket of onion rings, and we were slamming car bombs all night. And
Very nice. Let's see.
Disappointed. Sorry. I thought people would be showing up and nobody
showed
up.
No one shows up. We used to have it even better.
Social fucks.
We used to have it even better. We used to go down and do it at the Binion's Horseshoe before they fucked it all up by becoming part of Harrah's. This is way back before it closed, back in like 92 or 2002. Fucking 92.
92. Holy shit.
92. We were doing this show all MIDI all the time. basically, though, we would say, hey, we'll be here if you show up. Cool, you know. I mean, hell, we would have bought someone food if they would have shown up. Uh-oh. We would have bought them dinner because we used to do the show at such a ridiculously odd hour that when we ended the show, by the time we got downtown, it was midnight. You know, it was like one of those... What we used to do... I think this show has gone through every day of the week and has started anywhere from 6 p.m. all the way up to 10 p.m. for start times.
I remember the old Sunday 9 o'clock days.
Oh, yeah. Sunday at 9 o'clock, you get it. Or 9:30, 10 o'clock. Sunday, 10 o'clock. It was Sunday, 10 o'clock.
That's right. I used to stop at your house at 9.
Yep.
That's right.
And then Sunday, 10 o'clock, we would do 10 to midnight Vegas time, which wipes out everyone else across the country because, dude, the show would end. It'd be like 4 in the morning.
Yeah, and they all got to get up.
And I got, you know, they got to get up and work at 6 or 7 in the morning. They're like, oh, that was a great show, man. But.
Yep.
It was great. Good old days. Anywho. Yeah, shitty week for both of us. You like this music?
It's pretty good.
Yeah, I decided to build a couple new intros.
These are called music beds, by the way.
Yes. I have like a gig of trance that I just don't know what to do with, so I've been making music beds out of.
I have a great suggestion what to do with it.
Oh, you give me that suggestion, I'm going to jack you in the jaw. I'm just going to punch you.
You know I'm not a fan of trance.
With my dick. And you'll have... I'll Danza slap you. I can't even get a reaction out of you tonight at all, can I?
I'm afraid, because I know I'm just going to start popping off.
Popping off what? You'll get that excited over my dick? That's pretty gay. That's really gay, dude. All right, so shitty weeks. Let's see. Last week you were telling us about your hedgehog.
Yep.
Sonic.
Well, his name actually wound up being Pokey.
Pokey.
Yeah.
What happened to your hedgehog this week?
Actually, it was late last week and then into the weekend. Pokey had an infestation of mites.
Right.
All that unusual. And he got a shot of a substance called ivermectin.
Ivermectin. Okay.
And it's fairly, you should know it, it's used fairly commonly in cattle.
Holy shit. If they're giving cow tranquilizers to a hedgehog?
Well, it's not a tranquilizer.
Okay.
It's an anti-parasite.
Hey, Doc, I feel great.
Well, both the doctor and I have double-checked all of her doses, and she gave the correct dosage, but something that this vet was unaware of is that ivermectin can possibly have complications in hedgehogs, and it did.
You know what? Wait. That means there's somebody out there in a lab that's taking this substance and going... Pigeon, check.
Yep.
Dust bunny, check.
Real bunny.
Elephant, check. Mel Brooks, check.
Yeah, I found the paper. I found the white paper that's got all of that information on it.
Jesus Christ. What have
I had
what's
to
your,
go.
What do you do for work all day, Dad? Well, I inject chemicals into pets, son.
Yeah, pretty much.
And famous celebrities.
So Pokey was, you know, we brought him home, and of course he was wiped out after a shot. So, you know, we expected that. And he didn't move at all for the next couple of days.
Not cool.
We took him back to the vet. I do believe we took him back to the vet Friday.
Yeah.
He spent the night Friday night.
Uh-huh.
Saturday morning we called him. They said, well, he's not really getting better, but he's not getting worse. He's stable. We've given him Valium to kind of calm him down a little bit because his heart was going pretty fast.
Okay.
They said, so, you know, all we can really do at this point is do what's, you know.
Stitch FM says, I thought hedgehog was another name for sex. No, you silly bastard. Hedgehog's the nickname of Ron Jeremy. We know our porn facts.
There you go.
Anyhow, you were saying.
So
Valium.
Calm his little heart down. They said, all we're doing right now is giving him supportive care. So if you guys want, you can come and pick him up. You can feed him, and we'll see how he gets better. So we picked him up, and he didn't get any better. Sunday morning, I called them, and they said, well, look, it usually takes 5 to 7 days for this stuff to get out of the system.
Jesus Christ, that little of a guy? And yeah. It takes 5 days?
Well, because, I mean, it's...
His heart should have been pumping that shit through his liver like
that. No,
but
it's supposed to hang around because the parasites bite him, get poison, and die.
Yeah.
So I said, okay, we'll keep doing that. We were feeding him every 2 hours. He was kept in our bathroom in a laundry hamper with a towel and a heating pad to keep his body temperature between 99 and 100.
Good.
And we were feeding him, you know, special food and water by a syringe every couple hours, you know, some antibiotics for the mites. And I called the vet, and I was starting to look into the possibility of having to have him put down. Mm-hmm. By this time, we're almost $300 into this.
Damn, for a hedgehog.
For a hedgehog that we picked up, that we adopted. And... Sunday, the vet said, well, look, let's give it 5 to 7 days. Let's give it another couple of days. And I'm like, okay, we'll give him a couple of days to pull out of this. And
you can do it.
Yeah, and Jackie went into the bathroom to feed him at about 8 or 9 o'clock Sunday night. And he was dead.
Aww.
He had died. So now the vet is trying to cover her ass and cover her bases. And her and I are talking about some stuff. And
so are you going to sue the vet?
I don't think we're going to sue the vet.
Or at least get your $300 back.
I don't know about that either. I think more importantly what we want to do is make sure that vets become aware that ivermectin is not the...
Wait, you're going to be a hedgehog advocate?
Well, I just don't want someone else's family to have to go through this. If it was just me and Jackie, it's not a big deal. But then I had to turn around and explain to my kids where Pokey was.
Yeah, that one can be tough.
Yeah, that was hard. So, yeah, just explaining to the vet. You know, there, for those of you that are considering... that sounds interesting now. For those of you that are considering getting a...
I think that helped.
There we go. For those of you that are considering getting a hedgehog, if you do ever get mites, and honestly, it's a good bet that you will, do not let your
or
vet...
Or if your hedgehog gets mites.
What did I say?
If you ever get mites.
Oh, well, if you or
well,
your hedgehog,
you or your hedgehog ever gets mites.
Talk to your vet. Don't let them use ivermectin. Ivermectin...
Ron, Jeremy... Check.
Check. Ivermectin is a poison, and it is known to cause brain damage.
Oh, nice.
In hedgehogs.
Well, it's good to cause brain damage in a lot of shit.
Also, it causes damage in collies, we found out, too.
Ooh.
Yeah, collies have a bad reaction to it as well.
Nasty!
So, for those of you that get a hedgehog and you get mites, there's a stuff called Revolution. It is a...
It's a Nintendo.
It's a radio show on Casey Host. No, it is a...
It's a... very nice.
Hey, thank you.
Well done.
No, it's a topical...
$10 for that plug.
It's a topical ointment, and you drop it on them, so...
I can see a bunch of ravers now putting it on them.
Yeah, it's been a bad one.
Rub that Revolution on me.
Exactly. Now, you've had...
Oh, God,
I
was in the same exact fucking boat as you were, dude. It's pathetic. Okay, so everybody knows a couple weeks ago we were talking about, you know, I got me some two pussies. And we made a huge, huge joke of that. Well, I think this was... God, I don't remember.
Actually, now you have
the
pussy trifecta happening in your house.
Oh, I do. But anyhow, let me get back to my... and then we'll get to the I got to figure out your trifecta. Hi, my name is Trencher. I lost my train of thought.
Shake
my goddamn hand. Hammer. Thank you very much.
Oh,
all right.
God, your hands... You're always so clammy, dude.
I know. Dude, it's...
Fat guy sweat. That's
at least
what
I washed my hands after I jacked off. Anyhow,
my hand smells like chlorine.
Well, it's bleach. Anyhow... It's like Ultra Power. Anyhow, so, yeah, my cat. We have a cat. We have Ripley and Muffin. Now, Ripley, we knew when we picked Ripley up that she was prone to seizures when she was an itty-bitty, teeny-weeny kitten. Okay. And she had not had a seizure for between, like, 6 months, a year, or something like that. I don't remember the exact number. Well, it was last week, probably, like, Tuesday night. One of those. I can't remember exactly which. Everything's kind of blurred together because it's just been a busy week overall for me. All of a sudden, it's 4 in the morning, and Ripley is in bed with us, and all of a sudden, Ripley goes into convulsions. Ripley's having a seizure. She loses complete bladder control all over the bed. She's in a seizure. Oof. All we can do is pet her and calm her and call her name. Just as fast as it started, it stopped. She meowed funny twice, got up, stood up, and just kind of looked around. And, like, for the next 24 hours, she was beyond space case. I mean, she was out. So what we basically did is we went to the vet. We're like, dude, she had a seizure. What do we do? What can we do? The vet's like, oh, well, we could do blood work. We can do all these tests.
$1,000 worth of tests.
Mm-hmm. And I'm like, dude, we know these tests. You know, and I asked him, you know, we're finding information like, will these tests help anything? Will we find a problem, a cure? What can we do? Come to find out, the tests don't do shit. The medication that we'd have to try to give to this cat twice a day would be fucking impossible. And so we had to make the ultimate decision of quality of life situation. We had to put our new cat that we just got to replace the 18-year-old cat that died down. So we had to put Ripley down last week. So we were all, you know, bummed out because Ripley was a very scared cat. She was not a very social cat when we got her. And within a month of getting her, she was becoming very social. To where she'd actually would show up and let people pet her.
Mm-hmm.
She'd still be jittery around people, but she would let you pet her after she kind of got used to what was going on in the environment around her. So we were pissed off because we're like, oh, you know, we just got her to finally relax and enjoy her surroundings and feel perfectly safe. And then she had another seizure and passed away. You know, we had to put her down. Yeah. So, yeah, it's been Spank Wagon Radio. We will kill your pets.
You know, that's the difference between you guys and my wife. My wife would have gotten the hedgehog a complete, you know, central nervous system transplant and liver.
Yeah, but the problem with that is quality of life and cost.
Yeah.
And, you know, if the cats... Okay, like with the seizures, the mites... And the whole vermectum thing, that could have been fixed if it, you know, didn't...
Had the vet read some very important information that I found, and Toe is pointing out right
Toe,
now.
Toe, of course, also did another, in the chat room. By the way, we better say this real quick. You are listening to Spank Wagon Radio, only at spankwagon.net. Well, actually at all of our syndicates and whatnot, podcasts and everything. But your official site is spankwagon.net. We'd love to see you guys join our chat room. Click on the cam chat link in the upper left-hand side there. Join us. Join our cast
join
of merry fools.
Won't you?
We'd like to have you here.
Yeah, come on in, chat. I mean,
chat with us.
It's not going to be dead pets all night, I promise. But as Toe is pointing out here, had the vet done a little bit of research, they would have found ivermectin to be toxic, and it's just bad. You know, our point now is that we're just trying to make sure that the vet knows. And we're, you know what? My wife actually is talking about getting information out to almost all the vets in town about ivermectin and hedgehogs.
Well,
because
cool.
Hedgehogs are becoming a very popular pet, and they are.
Oh, yeah.
Are they
becoming like the next ferret?
I don't know about that, but they are. I think sugar gliders are becoming the next ferret.
The what?
Sugar gliders.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
But hedgehogs are they're great pets. I mean, you'd think at first it's like, oh, yeah, how can you have a sharp, pokey thing? I'll tell you, my wife...
How can you have a sharp, pokey thing?
I keep it
well,
in my
hun.
Pants. You know, when we first got Pokey, my wife tried picking him up with gloves, and he, you know, he puffed up and hissed at her, and she finally said, fuck it, and actually used just her bare hands, and he loved it. I mean, he would sit with her on the couch and curl up next to her.
Nice.
So, I mean, hedgehogs are awesome pets, and they're, you know, they just take a lot of care, they take a lot of love and a lot of time, and you've got to be able to dedicate that, and thankfully, I have a wife who, God, loves small furry things. I told you guys we have a hamster.
I thought you were supposed to be the one that loves small furry things.
Yeah, I do.
Well, you know what?
But I can't munch a hedgehog.
Well, you could try one.
Yeah, we've got a hand raised hamster that will allow her to give it a bath and dry it off, and he just sits there and takes it.
Nice. Anywho, this is for pet fans everywhere.
Oh, goddamn!
Spank Wagon Radio. We'll be back in a second. Get the Kleenex.
Your day is long and the night is yours alone. When you're sure you've had enough of this life, let's
great.
It's great.
Hold on. This reminds me of the night we did, what was that? The Cake cover of, we did karaoke that night.
Everybody hurts. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever!
Spankwagon Karaoke!
Yeah! All right, so we're back. God.
I should have brought Ruby.
Clipping in my headphones.
Love that song.
Woo! My headphones keep clipping. My singing sucks so fucking much.
It's all right. I found out the end of my mic. Oh,
you're loose.
Wheel that, baby.
Thanks.
Yeah, dude, you're loose. That's a compliment among men. Hey, you're loose.
I could pass a Volkswagen through my sphincter.
Talk about uncomfortable place. All right. We got a lot of shit for you. We've got a special edition of Shitty Mitty going on tonight. I went out of my way for another special, different type of Shitty Mitty. We are looking for phone calls tonight. Don't forget, our lines are wide open, much like Murphy's Sphinxter.
Sphinxter?
Sphinxter.
Sphinxter.
I want to be able to copyright the word.
You can go right ahead and do that, then.
Our number is 1-866-587-6257. Call us if you're listening to us live, or 383-8120.
And if you're listening to us on an iPod podcast and you're picking up the phone and dialing, do me a favor, go find the shotgun with the toe attachment.
No. If you're listening to the podcast and you decide to dial, or you're listening to one of our syndicates that rebroadcasts us at any time of the day or night, go ahead and find out who answers.
Yeah, that's good.
Tell him Spankwagon sort of... No, you better... Well, yeah, fuck it. Tell him Spankwagon sent you.
Spankwagon said I should call. Spankwagon
sent me. He told me to call you. He said you were lonely.
Hello.
All right.
Have you seen my pants?
Hey, yeah. I put it with a hedgehog. Oh, down
hey,
the chute.
Get off my lawn.
Dude, speaking of get off the lawn, have you heard about the guy in Ohio?
You're going to have to be a little more specific.
All right. So this old man in Ohio, right?
Uh-huh.
Goes fucking ballistic.
Uh-huh.
Why?
Why?
A kid walks on his lawn. You know how he solved the problem with a kid walking on his lawn?
Let me guess. He shot him.
With a 410 shotgun.
Holy shit. Look at that. I fucking called that
one. And
he
calls 911. I shot a kid. Excuse me, sir? I shot a kid. The fucker, you know, the dude has been harassing me for in his fam. Me and his family. Fuck, I can't even fucking comp. Him and his family have been harassing me for 5 years. He was walking on my lawn. I finally shot him. What, sir? I said I shot him with a 410. I mean, this guy shot a fucking kid for walking on the goddamn lawn.
That's fucking ridiculous.
Just saying.
I think I can top it, though.
How so?
I know my staticky. I know I'm all staticky. But trust me. Bring the music down. Let me get this to load.
All right.
I think I can top this.
I don't even know if we're hooked up on that one, but...
We'll find out here in a second, won't we?
Are you sure it don't sound staticky? We have no audio coming out of there.
Ugh.
Sorry, dude.
Sorry, if I forward something to you real quick, can you...
Oh, yeah, we'll do it during the break. We'll do it during the break.
Okay.
So, anyhow...
Man, I got nothing on this machine now.
Eh, it's okay. It's, you know, the machine... We come to find out it's the machine that's having the problems.
Yeah.
So it's like, oh, well...
Oh, it's not Murphy.
It's not Murphy. It's not the cabling. It's the fucking machines.
Great.
Anywho, we are broadcasting live from Las Vegas. We are looking for phone calls. We are looking for your participation in the chat room. Don't forget, we have... we don't have dead celebrity this week because I don't think anybody important died.
Nope.
But we definitely do have some other things going on. Like I said, we have the world-famous Shitty Mitty. A special edition Shitty Mitty, mind you. So we got a lot of that good stuff going on.
Don't forget, I brought some cracked-out music.
Yeah, you've brought some... Well, hell, we played... You got good timing on some of your music. So, you know, we got that played a little bit. Anywho. And actually, you know, the shitty part is I think we actually need to take another break.
Bring up that one there.
What the left column?
Left column, the third one down.
This one?
Yeah, bring that one up. And if anybody can pick what this song is, can we play this one first?
Absolutely.
Anybody who can tell me where this song comes from, you'll instantly get nerd points with me, and you and I can be friends, and we'll probably talk about it after the break.
Okay, so what we'll do is we'll play the songs. We'll get to a quick break. You are listening to
Spankwagon Radio.
And we'll be back.
I've been having these weird thoughts lately. Like, is any of this for real? Or not?
We'll be right back.
ladies and gentlemen, you're back with the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio, and when did we get Rolf the dog in here? Holy shit.
Here, I've been playing the piano for quite a while, actually, and decided to upgrade my gig. Muppets weren't paying out so well, you know, the whole new Muppets thing kind of crapped out.
Yeah, no shit. You know what, dude? My kids and I watched the first Muppet movie, like, the other day. Dude, Dr. Teeth.
Why are there so many songs about rainbows? Exactly.
You know, I do a pretty good Kermit the Frog singing the sweater song from Weezer.
Let's give it a try.
If you want to destroy my sweater, whoa, whoa, whoa. Yeah, but
not bad. No.
Dr. Teeth and the Electric Mayhem
good.
Were possibly the coolest band ever.
In the 80s.
dude. Okay, you've got Dr. Teeth. Okay, then you've got Floyd. And then you've got
Floyd saxophone.
Janis.
You got Janis.
And then, what's the sax guy? What's his name? Shit. I can't remember the sax guy's name.
Zoot.
And then, of course, you've got Animal on drums.
Yeah!
Dude, but the songs in that... Dude, I'm going to look and see if I can find...
Okay, well, you know what? We gotta play this, because you were asking people. I know we have enough...
We have enough nerds in here. Nerd alert!
That they'll be able to identify this song here. That we played right as we went to
break.
And
where are the Ars Anime guys? Toe, you're from the Ars Anime room. You should know this. Self-respecting anime geek should know this.
Thoughts lately.
Not just anime geek, but you know what this is from. But
yeah,
this sounds like the same group that did the music for Ghost in the Shell's second gig.
I do believe it is.
So I don't know.
Or not.
So if anyone in the chat room can recognize this,
all three of you.
You know shit. We're on kind of a quiet broadcast tonight.
Yeah, no shit. Let's let me scrub forward. No one in the chat room.
You know what? I'm gonna see.
No one's saying a goddamn thing.
Are you in the Ars Anime room?
No. You know what? Don't.
No. I want to see if we can get him in here. See if one of them can identify.
We'll let Toe. See, Toe runs Ars Anime.
Yeah.
Toe runs. Toe is the friends of Spankwagon because all the linkage. Because without Toe, you know, without Toe actually, Spankwagon did not have any listeners for a long time. And then I befriended Toe internet wise through Reverend Hammer. Who's an Ars Anime, you know.
Who's missing in action.
Missing in action. Well, I got a question. Have you mailed out the prizes to him?
Oh, God, no.
Well, you see, you got to do things like that.
I do. You know the crap that's been going on in my house.
Well, for the... Yeah, I will agree.
8 weeks.
8 weeks. You have a kitchen now.
Yeah, I have a kitchen now. Thank God.
You have a kitchen now. So, you know, because you have a kitchen...
I will make sure I get all the prizes out this
week. Oh, my God.
I'm on vacation this week. But yeah,
so
Toe, tell me, dude, seriously, tell me you recognize this.
And you know, recognize it at all, anything here.
Oh.
Well, the artist will say is Yudao Hikaru.
Yeah.
I think I got that.
And the name of the song, I do believe, is Simple and Clean.
It doesn't say, actually. It just says Hikari English version on your
copy. Yeah, I think it's Simple and Clean.
But it's from the Kingdom Hearts soundtrack.
Yeah. So. This is a theme song from Kingdom Hearts. For those of you that don't know what Kingdom Hearts is, Kingdom Hearts is a game that the guys from Square and Disney got together and made. It's basically taking Final Fantasy and using Disney characters, Disney worlds, and Disney themes and combining the two. You play a young kid named Sora, who is the Keymaster, and he wields what's called the Keyblade, and there's really no way to really explain what that is other than a big-ass key. And his world and a bunch of other Disney worlds are getting sucked into this heartless nothing. And he winds up having to bounce from Disney world to Disney world, battling the heartless and finding out what's going on and trying to find a way to stop it while trying to find his friends, Riku and Kairi. And you go from like Alice in Wonderland to Tarzan to Winnie the Pooh. You actually wind up inside of a book for the, you know, 100 Acre Woods. You wind up in my personal favorite, in the Halloween Town for the Nightmare Before Christmas. You actually have to fight Oogie Boogie, which is awesome. But for those of you that have played it or are interested in it, it is actually in the Greatest Hits.
It's now a $20
game. Yeah, it's now a $20 game, and the sequel, Kingdom Hearts 2, comes out on Tuesday.
Kingdom Hearts came out like 2 or 3 years ago.
Yeah. I mean, if you want to see something cool, go out on Google and look up the Deep Dive video.
After the show.
Yeah, after the show. Look up the Deep Dive video, and that's the... it's a special ending that was on the disc one that kind of gives a hint into the sequel, and it's probably some of the best computer done anime I've ever seen. And just the some of the camera angles that they use, and some of the effects that you would usually expect to find in a normal film movie that they put into a trailer for a game. It's just awesome. I think it was a great game.
Well, it's probably the only really really awesome game for GameCube.
It's not out on the GameCube. It's on PS2.
I thought it was GameCube in the first round.
PS2.
Oh.
There was a Game Boy game called Kingdom Hearts Chain of Memories, which was really cool, too, that my wife got for her birthday. It's pretty cool, but it's more of a Pokemon-type card game.
Got it.
So, but Kingdom Hearts itself is just awesome. And, Toe, if you don't have a PS2... you need to take some recyclable cans to GameStop and get yourself one. Cause
well, speaking of PS2, I got some news on PS3 here. They're talking right now that the PlayStation 3 may, in fact, be the coolest damn thing ever, only for one reason.
It's going to cost as much as a car?
No, it's going to be region-free.
Yeah,
looks like
that
after all the biz with PlayStation being delayed, the Blu-ray opportunities, and the all that other crap, it looks like the PS3 DVDs. Consoles will launch region-free for games... Which means that any games you get anywhere in the world, whether you can read them or not, I mean, as in you can read the language, will be playable on the PS3, which I think is a wonderful thing. Now, I'm wondering, will the region-free aspect carry over to DVDs?
You know what? I'm going to say this right now. It'd be nice. Won't happen.
It would be very nice because...
Sony will get a rain of shit from... Every author, every agency
Why?
Out
Why?
There. Okay, number
What's
one.
What's wrong? Okay, first off, there's there should never have been a region code.
There
never.
Well, then you get into the MPAA and the RIAA and shit like that.
People who want to rape you.
But you also get into PAL versus NTSC.
Right.
And it won't happen. Sony would love to do
it. Well, okay, who's going to bitch about it? Who's
their partners.
Gonna...
EA Sports. EA makes...
Fuck EA.
EA is a serious contender, and if EA says they want something, it usually happens on the hardware form.
And you know what? EA, and we've talked about this before in the show in the past, EA screws their employees.
Oh, yeah.
EA is a shit for company.
Mm-hmm.
It's all these idiot, mindless assholes that keep buying their goddamn games because they don't realize what's going on in the background. If EA has that much pull to keep region codes on, to put region codes on a PS3... Then fuck EA.
Well, see, here's the thing. EA makes a bunch of games, sports games,
that
don't show up here in the States.
Well, yeah, I know.
Cricket. There's a rugby game. There's a whole bunch of them that don't show up here in the States. And if the machine's region-free, then that means these games can be traded back and forth between countries. Won't happen. The partners will stop it from happening, and it's crazy.
Well, I think it's very irresponsible, for anyone to get to kowtow to someone like that. I know that it's EA, and EA makes some of the highest grossing games of all time, and EA, EA Sports has fucked a lot of people. Let's take, for example, their exclusive contracts with the NFL.
Mm-hmm.
Did they lose the baseball one?
Yeah, they did lose the baseball.
Which is good, because if Sega Games can make a baseball game as cool as their NFL game,
yeah,
EA has some real company. As
and
a matter of fact,
ESPN
that is why,
games, too.
Yeah, well, ESPN games are Sega games. That's what I'm...
Oh, that's Sega mm-hmm. makes... Okay, I didn't
Sega,
know Sega
makes the ESPN. Now, here's the thing. You're dealing with Sega Games making ESPN football and whatnot, and they made a great game, a very playable, mm-hmm. fun game. EA, all they did was change character maps and make a bunch of plays harder to hit, harder to accomplish, harder to do. That's it.
You know what,
they're
though?
They're signing these exclusive contracts because they're running out of ideas to make games playable.
Oh, yeah.
The old formula isn't working, so they're trying the new formula. Fuck, I guarantee you, if they went back to Tecmo Bowl standards... They'd probably make another great game. I'm just saying.
The 05 baseball games they made, both for the PS2 and the PSP, are awesome. They are great games. I haven't played the ESPN versions of those games, but the ESPN version of the games, the Sega games, did something that was brilliant. When the games all came out, they were $20 each.
Yeah.
That was a brilliant move by
them. And again, that's another thing that sent EA into a fit to try to get exclusive contracts. They don't want to get undersold, and they don't want to lower their price.
Yeah.
So, it's all marketing shtick.
Yeah, it's all marketing shtick. So, hey, you want to play that video I sent?
Oh, yeah, let me go ahead.
This is cool. This is something some of you guys may have heard.
Okay, so start talking about it.
Yeah,
and
this is something some of you guys may have heard. Mobile, Alabama, there's a park there that has a new and interesting visitor. People are lining up at night. They're filling the park with flashlights and with cars with their headlights on. And
looking for crack?
No, looking for better than crack. looking for leprechauns.
Oh, what?
Yeah, leprechauns. Now, and the funny part is it is in a primarily black neighborhood. In Mobile, a primarily black neighborhood.
Boy, huh, who would have figured that?
So here's what... Let me set this video up for you guys. What you've got here is a news story. And, you know, I got to say it. I'm sorry, but when you get po' black folk and a news camera together, that's just fucking comedy gold right there.
Here we go. You ready?
Yeah, bring it up.
Just in time for St. Patrick's Day, crowds are coming by the dozens to get an up-close view at what some say is a piece of Irish folklore.
Some people in the Crichton area of Mobile say a leprechaun has taken up residence in their neighborhood. A leprechaun. NBC 15's Brian Johnson has more.
Curiosity leads to large crowds in Mobile's Crichton community. Many of you bring binoculars, camcorders, even camera phones to take pictures.
To me, it looked like a leprechaun to me. I got to look up in the tree. Who else seen the leprechaun say yeah?
Yeah! Oh my God, look at the bling.
Eyewitnesses say the leprechaun only comes out at night. If you shine a light in its direction, it suddenly disappears. This amateur sketch resembles what many of you say the leprechaun looks like.
Wait, you guys got to know, though. The amateur sketch
really is an amateur sketch.
Okay, the amateur sketch could have been done by a four-year-old. It's literally just the bottom half of a face wearing a derby.
You got to put the link for this up on the site later.
Yeah, go for it. You know how to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, do it.
I'll put that up
because,
later for you
guys. The amateur sketch is fucking classic. Okay.
Wait, it gets better, though. It gets better.
Okay, sorry.
Others find it hard to believe and have come up with their own theories and explanations for the image.
My theory is it's casting a shadow from the other limb.
Could be a crackhead that got hold to the wrong stuff. And it told him to get up in a tree and play a leprechaun.
Pause that. That is my favorite part of this whole clip. Could be a crackhead.
Hey, didn't I say that before?
Oh, God. Could be a crackhead. Got a hold of the wrong stuff. It don't climb up in a tree. God, dude, I fucking love this.
Classic.
Keep going. It gets better, too.
Yeah, still on there, guy. Don't be afraid, man.
This guy, helping to direct traffic, says he's prepared for his encounter with the leprechaun. He's suited up from head to toe.
This wards off spells right here. This is a special leprechaun flute, which has been passed down from thousands of years ago from my great-grandfather.
Okay, pause it. He said his great-great-grandfather passed it down. I'm sorry. I'm Irish, and if you look at me, there's something distinctly different between me and this guy, and it goes back to a joke I told last week. What's the difference between Martin Luther King Day and St. Patrick's Day? On St. Patrick's Day, everyone wants to be Irish.
Yes.
He's not Sicilian, guys. He's Irish. I don't believe he has a Irish grandfather. I'm going to go with a hunch on this one.
Good hunch.
Others just came to get lucky.
Leroy O'Grady.
A pot of gold may be buried under this tree.
I'm going to run a backhoe and uproot that tree. I want to know where the gold is. I want the gold.
For his teeth.
This is Brian Johnson, NBC 15.
Wait. So you have all this. I got the gold. It's a leprechaun. I got a pipe.
I'm going to get me a backhoe.
And we have Brian Johnson.
Dude, come on.
Think about it. We got Brian Johnson for your news.
For action news.
Come
here, crackhead.
I'm the only white guy in Mobile, Alabama. Time for the news.
And he's actually broadcasting.
Now for traffic report. I'm running down 15th. They've got fucking pipes after me and magic flutes.
Could be a crackhead.
Oh, my God.
I want to isolate
that
audio.
Anything for a pot of gold. I mean, anything.
You know what I like? I like the amateur sketch of the leprechaun.
Yeah,
it looks like somebody
got
a really good look at it and got that good drawing out there.
Who did that? I want to know who sketched
Could
that.
Could be a crackhead.
Doodling.
That was a good story.
All right. So there
There you go.
Damn, that's funny, dude.
Could be a crackhead.
There's a soundboard. We have Leroy Jenkinson. Could be a crackhead. Anyhow.
Maybe it could be Leroy Jenkins.
Who is a crackhead? You never know.
At least I got chicken.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, you are listening to
Spike Wagon Radio.
I'm your host, Trencher.
And I'm Murphy.
Good deal.
I'm looking for my space.
All right, so you don't look at my screen, because what we're going to do right now is we're going to start playing Shitty MIDI. But I need someone to call in. I would really love to have someone call in this week to play Shitty MIDI more than the internet, because, you know, having in the chat room is fine, but I'd love to have you live. So here's what we're going to do. You know, the lines have been open. It's a miracle. This phone technology, it's 100 years old, still doesn't fucking ring on our end. give us a call, 1-866-587-6257.
Because if you don't call us, we're going to start calling you.
And that's never good. So anyhow, what we're going to do is we're going to either wait for a call, and if we wait a minute or don't get a call, you know, then we'll have to move on. But what we'll have? We have Shitty Middies, but it's a contest Shitty Middie, more than normal. It's a special edition Shitty Middie.
Shitty
What I Mitty. Have here are a bunch of cartoon songs, cartoon middies.
I'll get them. I'll fucking get them, dude. I can tell you right now. Well, if no one calls in, we'll make it just me then.
Yeah, okay. But we have a bunch of cartoon middies, and you have to guess what they are. Now, so most of them are easy. I mean, you can't, you know, they're just easy. So what we'll do is we'll play the easy ones. We got a couple that
sounds
might
like
be
some
little,
of my ex-girlfriends. They're just easy.
They're just easy. We'll keep going. All right, so give us a call. The lines are open, 1-866-587-6257.
Murphy's got a pee.
That's a 1-800 number. That's toll-free, actually, not 1-800. Local Vegas, 383-8120. We'd love to hear from you. We know you're out there listening.
We can hear you breathing.
We can hear
Oh, I love this internet radio. Put the Pop-Tarts down, asshole. Start dialing.
Oh, yeah. Internet radio's the best thing
ever. Dude, that's creepy. Don't do that next to me.
Why?
Because I'm going to cock punch you in a minute.
Don't you like internet radio? All right. I can hold my nose. Oh, yeah.
You're creepy, dude.
I know. I try. All right. So
fucking creepy.
Yes. Yes, I am.
All right, dude. That's enough.
What the fuck? Are you looking at MySpace sluts?
Dude, I told you. I'm looking at MySpace whores, man.
Jesus Christ.
I fucking love MySpace whores. They're the fucking best.
How do you know what's a MySpace whore and what isn't?
Okay. If she poses
okay,
in a way
wait,
to...
Okay, wait. Time out. And now an educational segment while we're waiting for you to call 1-866-587-6257. Now we will have Murphy teach us how to spot a MySpace whore.
How to spot a MySpace whore. Very simple. Firstly, number one, most MySpace whores will find taking pictures of themselves in their bathroom with a camera phone because their A, boyfriend, B, husband, C, parents are out in the living room. Another good way to tell your MySpace whores from your regular MySpace people are MySpace whores often have very badly done, as you can see right here,
horrible.
Badly done layouts on their pages, often containing a lot of bad songs, worse videos, and blog entries that, well, no one really gives a fuck about.
You basically click on their photos to look for, oh, you got the bathroom mirror camera phone on that one.
Look at that. Another way to tell if you're
two bathroom, oh, yeah. Lingerie, a lingerie bathroom mirror.
That is another
phone.
Great way to tell if the girl you're looking at is a MySpace whore. She's doing anything she possibly can to bring attention to her tits.
Without showing them.
Some of them cover them up a little bit.
Without showing them, without, you know, because that's the thing is you got to show off without showing off.
Yeah, often you'll see them squeezing them together, or in this case, as we found right here, placing a beer between them.
A beer between the boobs.
Ugh, I think I'm in love. Fetal alcohol syndrome. This girl could be a winner. Ugh. Look at her. She's drinking in like 8 or 9 of them. Also, another way to tell if your girl is a MySpace whore, you will find pictures of her drunk, passed out drunk, pissing next to a car, or making out with other girls.
Interesting.
The last and final way to tell if your friend is a MySpace whore, she'll have me on her friends list.
You know, the setup was there, and the delivery was pretty good. I'm like, well, yeah, okay. All right, we haven't got anybody calling, so we'll just play this for the chat room.
No, fuck them. Let's play it for me. They didn't want to call in. Let me do it.
Yeah, you against the chat room.
All right,
actually,
fine.
You get a little bit of an unfair advantage because you don't get the delay.
Ugh.
But anyhow, what we'll do is we will go ahead and play the first of the Shitty Middies for tonight. Let me go ahead and get that ready to go. Now, this one should be really fucking easy. So this is a warm-up. This is also waiting for the computer to do its job. Come on. Stupid computer. Close you. There you go. All right.
Oh, my God. You're kidding me, right?
It's a MIDI.
It ain't that shitty, though. It sounds pretty good.
Pretty good, but what is... Without looking. What is that?
That's going to be the Looney Tunes thing.
Very good. See, very good. Very easy shitty MIDI there.
Yes.
So you got one for the shitty MIDI. So what we'll do then is...
we'll play the next one.
And
we'll give the chat room and...
We'll give the chat room
Jenny
a little
and Claude
bit of
who say maybe they'll call. Maybe they'll grace us with
their
presence.
So what we'll do is I'll play something a little more difficult, but not that much more. We'll be right back. So this one?
I don't want to answer. I know. You know,
yeah,
I know.
You know what it is. You're pantomiming it. So
we'll see if the guys in the chat room want to get a chance to answer this one. In fact, I'm going to go whiz while they answer.
So what we're looking for is we're looking for someone in the chat room. Or call us up, 1-866-587-6257. Oh, shut up. Oh, Claude and Jenny in the chat room have Inspector Gadget. Very good, Jenny and Claude. So you got the second one. So far we've got Murphy here in the studio and Jenny and Claude tied at one. Now we're going to go for something a little more difficult. Just a little more difficult. But still easy. Well, so here we go.
Did anyone get it?
Not yet. This is easy.
Ow.
Yeah, they hit the highs. Chizad in the chat room got The Simpsons.
That's right. And for those of you that haven't seen it, there is some company out there actually, or some company
did a live action Simpsons.
Yeah, they did a live action Simpsons intro sequence.
And it was a shortened version, but it was still a live action.
Oh,
now,
still great.
This one should be the most difficult.
All right. This is the difficult one?
Yeah, this is all I could find. It's amazing how there isn't that many shitty middies for cartoons.
Ugh.
Maybe I'll have to look for sitcom series.
Look up ringtones. Look up ringtones and you'll find
that's
it
where
there.
I found all these.
I'll let the guys in the chat room answer this one, and if
come
they
on,
can,
it's
I'll
the
take it.
Simplest. Because, you know, we're being nice this week.
Yeah.
We've done so many tough, shitty middies.
Well, dude, I'm so creeped out from the week that you and I both picked Jeremy.
Hey, we good?
That's fucking creepy, dude.
So let's see. So far, you know, there's no one clear leader. We're all tied. And Chizad gets Popeye. Very good. Right in time, too, so I can close the damn window. So,
nice.
There's this week's shitty mini of the week. Since no one really won, well, Chizad won, your jack shit prize is in the mail. Like every other fucking prize.
Shut up, ass monkey.
Just saying. Well, I mean, let's see. We could. Oh, I don't even have any spare shitties. That's pretty bad.
Yeah.
I don't have any spare shitty minis. I couldn't even throw a zinger out there if I wanted to.
Sorry, dude. Hey, wait. You know what? We may not have that, but didn't I throw some good stuff on my...
Everything off. I wouldn't say good stuff.
I mean, I don't have any middies, but I mean, maybe something funny to listen to.
Actually, here's something I have to listen to. Actually, this is pretty interesting.
Okay.
A year ago, 25 years ago now? Almost 25 years ago that John Lennon died. John Lennon was shot. Well, what someone's done is they've edited together a bunch of clips from the radio that night as they did a scan on their radio in New York. It might be something worth listening to. So why don't we go ahead and take a few minutes. You're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spankwagon Radio.
And we'll be back in just a moment.
This year, his first major interview in 5 years, Lennon said he had wanted to leave the Beatles as early as 1966, but did not make the move until 4 years later because he said he just didn't have the guts. After the Beatles broke up in 1970, Lennon continued writing songs and recording, but in 1975 he dropped out for 5 years, saying he wanted to be with his son Sean and his wife. It was not until last summer that he returned to music, and his 14-song album Double Fantasy was released just last month. The album, which includes songs by Yoko Ono, is based on Lennon's experiences over the 5 years during which he kept house, cooked, and cared for their son. Lennon said he was most affected by early rock and roll blues music and by Elvis Presley. Repeating, former Beatle John Lennon is dead. He was shot and killed Monday night in front of his apartment building in Manhattan. Police have a suspect in custody. He has not been identified. John Lennon was 40. This has been a CBS News special report.
Okay, you're on the air at CBS FM. Do you have a question?
I have a few comments.
Okay.
I would like to say that I can't think of anyone who deserves more to live for what they have given us. And another feeling that I have is that he is very consciously with us, because he remains in my consciousness. I would also like to encourage the news media to never publish the name of the man who assassinated him.
Well, there's an idea, only because of the fact that that could be a possibility of what he's looking for. Unfortunately, with the structure of news media that we have today, I would feel that that would be pretty much impossible, don't you, Eric?
Yeah, I don't think there's a chance in the world, although...
It's a nice thought.
Blackbird singing in the dead of night.
Of a revolution.
In many ways, now, but now these days are gone.
The English army had just won the war.
Here again is a wrap-up. John Lennon is dead. He was 40. One of the best accounts we've gotten so far is from a New York policeman, Officer Miller, and we're going to let you hear kind of what he has to say about the whole thing.
Approximately 10:30 this evening, John Lennon and his wife exited either a car or a taxi cab and walked into the Dakota Hotel where they lived. They were followed in by at least one youth who opened fire on him and shot him several times. The police responded to the scene as quickly as possible. One man was arrested, and John Lennon was taken to the hospital. And later on, I found out he was pronounced dead. So that's the way it stands. They have one in custody, and John Lennon is dead as of this time.
Have you heard any motive at all?
Negative, sir. I have no idea what to the radio claimed no negative, no idea why.
Okay, again, there were seven shots fired, and like he says, the police do have a suspect described as a local crazy. What else could he be? He's a male in his 30s or his 40s, and absolutely no motive whatsoever as to why this happened at all. John, they say, was conscious when they took him to the hospital, but Dr. Stephen Lynn pronounced him dead on arrival, saying that absolutely nothing could be done to save him at that point.
There was a significant injury of the... major vessels inside the chest, which caused a massive amount of blood loss, which probably resulted in his death.
Okay, and again, this I like to say this is a bit of a tribute to John. We have a few things. Just in Playboy, he had an interview. I don't know if you've read it or not. He mentioned a few things about death, and I'd like to read a couple things to you. It may help deal with it. Again, they asked him, what about death, about Rust Never Sleeps Away, Neil Young's thing about how it's better to burn out than to fade away. What did he say? I hate it. He said it's better to fade away like an old soldier than to burn out. I don't appreciate worship of dead, and Sid Vicious, or of dead James Dean, or of dead John Wayne. It's the same thing, making Sid Vicious a hero. Jim Morrison is garbage to me. I worship the people who survive. Basically, he doesn't want to be worshipped. He wants to be remembered, and I think that's about it. And of course, everyone is taking this tragedy with shock and disbelief, but none harder probably than Yoko Ono, John's wife, who was said to be back at the Dakota Hotel in a state of shock. Of course, she was with John until the end. And also at the Dakota, it appears an impromptu memorial is being staged right now. There's hundreds of Beatles fans outside mourning. They'll probably be out all night. And while still just a few feet away, they say, is the puddle of blood left from the attack. I guess it's kind of just a reminder of the sickness of any violence, especially as senseless as this.
but it was always for peace.
All right, we're back, ladies and gentlemen. That was a very interesting...
Yeah, that was kind of hard to listen to.
Yeah, I mean, you're listening to that, and that was basically recorded off of the dials back in 1980, the night John Lennon was murdered. Very interesting, you're listening to what they were saying. Now, it was edited together, obviously. Someone first tried to pitch it as they were just literally scanning the dial, but I'm thinking, no. They were editing, but...
That's still really, really interesting. And as you and I were talking during the break, they're actually filming a movie right now about Mark David Chapman, the guy who shot Lennon. They're filming it right out front of the Dakota. Jared Leto is actually playing Mark David Chapman.
Interesting.
And it's supposed to be...
Do we know what the title of the movie is?
I don't know the title of it yet. I know it's still in production.
So it'd be if we could find the title, it'd be up on
IMDb.
IMDb,
yeah.
Okay.
But apparently Yoko Ono is having a complete fit about this. Does not want this made. Doesn't want this done because she feels it's because it's about Mark David Chapman. It's not about John Lennon. And it really
follows.
Yeah,
but sometimes
you
have to understand the crazies in order to understand what happened.
For those of you that aren't familiar with the story, the last photo of John Lennon alive is him giving Mark David Chapman an autograph earlier on in the day right outside of the Dakota.
So, and this bastard shot. What do you think? I mean, it's easy to say that, John Lennon, obviously based upon those quotes that the guy was reading, would still continue to be making music. Could you imagine John Lennon being alive in today's society, though?
I really can't. Stars like that burn out quickly.
And as you said, he wouldn't want to burn out. He'd want to live a long life and just fade away.
But...
You can't do that when you're someone like that. I mean, it doesn't seem right. Sure, you may be able to physically do it, but I don't know. It just doesn't.
Guys like Lennon and Hendrix and Joplin and Jim Belushi and guys like that. They burn out quickly.
You mean who? John Belushi.
John Belushi. I'm sorry, I said Jim.
Yeah, said Jim. Jim.
I apologize.
And James. Jim and James are both alive.
Yeah, I'm sorry. I apologize. Mitch Hedberg, guys like that.
Yeah, Mitch Hedberg.
They burn out quickly and die, and yet guys like Louis Anderson and fucking Regis Philbin live forever and a day. Yeah. I don't understand it.
Well,
It's just not fair. Not fair. All of this going on, and we can't get Stevie Ray Vaughan on a helicopter. What's going on? Come on, Stevie.
So, anyhow, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spinkwagon Radio.
Looking at the clock, and I think we need to take another quick break.
We just had a break.
That was a little musical interlude. So we're going to cut to a quick break, and we'll be back in a little bit. And for those of you who are totally confused, don't worry. You're finally, finally catching up to the rest of us. Again, Spankwagon Radio. We'll be back. Oops. Let's click that button.
Close their arms while light everywhere, but you can't see it.
Ladies and gentlemen, is now part three of tonight's episode of Spank Wagon Radio. The third act includes... You okay? You're rubbing your eyes like you got like a...
Yeah,
you crying
some...
there?
No.
Yeah. Didn't get your nightly boob flash?
I'm pulling a Morrison. No, I have real oily skin, and sometimes the oil gets down into my eye, actually.
Uh-huh.
And fucking burns.
Interesting. I find that interesting. I don't know why. All right, ladies and gentlemen, you're listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Spank Wagon Radio.
I'm Trencher.
And I'm Murphy.
And you know, I was looking at the clock, and I'm realizing, you know, we
didn't even give me a chance to pimp those guys.
Pimp what guys?
That song that you were just playing.
Oh, yeah. What was the song?
It's a song called Free. The band is called UPO. It's actually a really great song.
Yeah, really nice sound to it. I like that.
Yeah, those guys. Because
that's
kind of
like
a smaller band.
Well, really, I've never heard of them. Obviously,
yeah.
But now that I actually go out of my way to hear, long story. So I think, yeah.
Is it about that time?
I'm in with the out crowd.
Woo!
I'm in with the out crowd.
Ladies and gentlemen, it is now time in Spank Wagon Radio where we acknowledge you, our loyal listeners, by giving those of you who have parked your asses in the chat room mad props.
Hey, let's switch it up this week. Rather than you doing the name announcing and me doing the mad props, let's switch it.
Okay, go for
it. All right, so first off, we'd like to start with Anorexic Pillow.
Mad props.
Chizad.
Mad props.
Jenny and Claude.
Mad props.
Stitch.
Mad props.
The Juke.
Mad props.
Toe.
Mad props.
And last but not least, Sam.
Disenfranchised props. Ladies and gentlemen, that's your mad props for this week, because we appreciate all of you for listening and chatting and joining us. A short week, because, I mean, the past few weeks, we've had, like, some serious freaking...
You said
like
huge long list.
I mean, where are they tonight? They're all drunk. Getting drunk. Stitch is drunk at work, so at least we got the drunks listening to
Stitch
us.
Stitch is my hero.
Yeah, really. Why, you want to be drunk at work?
Hell yeah, dude.
I don't think I could do that. I don't think I could do that at all.
Speaking of drunk, guess what I'm doing right now?
Wetting yourself.
Shit. Kleenex!
Studio troll, Kleenex!
I need someone to mop up my lap.
Get a trash bag to put over the chair.
Yeah, no shit. No, actually, I'm brewing my own beer at home.
What?
Yeah, I'm brewing my own beer.
How you doing that?
Well, I got one of those Mr. Beer homebrew kits.
It's you mean the plastic tub with the powders you make?
Exactly.
Put in?
Well, it's not all powders. It actually has...
it's like Kool-Aid beer.
No, it's not like Kool-Aid beer. It actually is pretty interesting. It's got a booster kit in it, which helps speed up and amplify the fermentation process.
Okay.
But the actual beer mixture itself is a liquid, but it's a really thick liquid that you actually have to... It comes in a big can. You have to boil for a couple of minutes to soften up.
Uh-huh.
You mix it with the water, then you mix it with the booster, and then you mix it with a shitload of more water, then you add yeast, and you basically let it sit in this tub, in this big little, well, not big, in this little mini keg, and you let it sit in a dark room for at least 7 days, and I let it sit for 10, and then...
Does it say you can actually let it sit for more than
let it sit for as long as you want. And then it's got a little spigot on it, and you pour it into bottles, and I went and got the bottles, and big old liter bottles, and...
How big's the keg?
It holds 8.5 liters.
Oh, okay.
And then
that's a shitload of water.
It's a shitload of beer. And then you put sugar in these bottles because sugar, as you know, is a natural carbonate.
Yes.
And you it's got a little spigot on it. And you fill these bottles. You screw them on in there. You can get different kinds of bottles, and I got just the plastic ones. But the lids they have are like, you know how that lid when you on the twist off lid there,
my drink bottle,
it's got that plastic thing that seals the bottom.
Yeah.
This one, yeah, it comes with those, and you
a little interlocking tab.
Yeah, you just crank it down on there, and it's a sealed top, and you let it sit for another at least 7 days, and then you crack it open, you've got beer.
Wow.
But it came with a pale ale beer for first, and I went and bought an Irish stout.
Uh-huh.
And it's...
Chat room, I think the chat room likes the Kool-Aid beer.
Stitch does it the old-fashioned way with copper wire and 5 pounds of yeast. Nice. But we're going to have a little brew fest at the house. It's going to be next Sunday. I know you will be at work, but you're more than welcome to come and pick up your wife if she gets sloshed.
I don't know about that. Jim Jones would be so proud of you, says Jenny and Claude in the chat room.
Yeah, but I tell you what, you know, when you first open it up before the second fermentation process that adds the carbonation, it smelled like some good beer. I got to tell you, it's...
Well, you know, you got to wonder, though. I mean, it's a beer kit, so, I mean...
How good could it possibly
be? How good could it possibly be?
Well, I mean, it's...
Everybody in the chat room's like going, oh, yeah! Kool-Aid, man!
Well, I'll let you guys know...
Beer,
next
man!
Week, but
oh, yeah! Beer guy! Oh,
stumbling through the... Didn't they do that with the Duff guy on...
Oh, they probably did. Simpsons
smashes through the wall. Oh, yeah! I'm telling you, dude, I'm looking forward to it. It should be interesting.
Well, you'll have to fill me in. So this Sunday is the
next Sunday
is the unveiling. So we'll have to wait a couple weeks, and we will definitely do a follow up to find out how
we come in blind. We know it didn't work. Right.
What happened to Murphy? Well, you see, there's this thing called Brew-A-Beer.
Yeah. I gotta tell you though,
Kool-Aid beer.
I went online. It's got mixed reviews, but some people really like it.
Mixed reviews.
The alcohol content is much higher than regular beer.
Well, think about it though. There's some asshole out there that solid stuff that you had to boil to soften. You know, some asshole took a spoon.
Oh yeah,
and ate it like fucking Jello.
Yum.
You know, I mean, whatever. They're like, well, why should I brew it? I could just eat my beer.
Come on, eat it. Hey, if those potheads can eat the pot the brownie.
Yeah, really. It's like beer. Beer Jello.
Dude, that's wrong.
Beer Jello. Make fucking beer Jello.
Dude, you.
I challenge, well, mostly Claude, because I know he knows how to make these things. Beer Jello. We want to report on that for the Spankwagon website.
That'd be nice.
You know, I haven't. Well, we'll get to that later. I think it's time for... Time for some Spank Wagon News, brought to you by myself and him. First up, Vonage puts VoIP call on hold, a 911 caller nonetheless. While on hold, their house burns down. Lori Ventkamp, who also has a really shitty last name. Homeowner in Minnesota. Oh, this is a guy. It's Lauren. I'm sorry. Lost his house to a fire last month. When he noticed the fire had started, he immediately dialed 911 using Vonage. Unfortunately, Vonage put him on hold, causing a delay in the response from emergency workers.
Quote, I have Vonage, and that's scary.
Quote, I called 911 using Vonage broadband. They put us on hold. When he was interviewed, by the time the fire crews arrived, the house had become a 5-alarm blaze. It was a total loss, but no one was injured. Vonage claims that nearly 70% of its customers now have E911, a feature that automatically associates a physical address with the calling party's telephone number. So, you know, the interesting thing about like E911 with VoIP phones, if you decide you want to show off your VoIP somewhere else and you dial 911 while at your friend's house, it'll go to your house.
Yep.
I love that shit. You got anything?
Oh, I got lots of stuff.
Well, go for it.
Russian software developer beats pirate in a boxing ring. An employee of Cognitive Technologies computer company has beaten a man who was selling his software illegally. Manager of the company's software department, Andrei Smirnov. I can't make that up.
Drink to that one.
Yeah, exactly. Offered.
Oh, yeah!
Offered to fight the dealer in a fitness center. He defeated the computer pirate in 24-16 in three rounds, lasting 3 minutes each. The dealer's name was not revealed. News RU Web Edition on the High Technology Report on Thursday.
Glass Joe is sought for questioning.
Exactly. In February, Simonov saw the dealer selling CDs with his company software at a computer market without a license. Smirnov demanded the dealer stop the illegal sale. A scuffle broke out, but they were stopped by a guard. After that, the pirate expressed a wish to continue the fight in the street, but Smirnov suggested a fitness center.
Interesting. So why not sanction it and make it something worth something?
You know, that'd be a way to fight. Get those MPAA and RIAA guys in a UFC ring and let them take on some of these fat dudes that are pirating their shit.
They'll hire someone. They have so many people under contract, you know, they'll just hire someone. Hey, check it out. Microsoft finally learned their lesson. Back in the mid-1990s, security experts warned Microsoft that integrating the web browser deeply into Windows was kind of a fucking dumb idea.
Kinda.
A decade and countless security vulnerabilities later, hence, hack the planet. Microsoft is tactically conceding that the critics, well, they were fucking right. The new version of Internet Explorer is to be released as part of Vista version, you know, this fall, or maybe next fall, or maybe the spring after
the
that.
The official release right now is January of 07.
07, okay. So whenever they get around to it. Basically, what it's going to do is it's going to be separate from the Windows Explorer. They're finally learning their lesson. Maybe they'll kind of get kind of on that bandwagon, get up there with Firefox.
Yeah, but maybe. Then again, probably not.
What's next?
How about this? Everybody's heard of this movie, Snakes on a Plane.
Snakes on a Plane!
Get these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane. Dude, I cannot wait for this movie. I'm telling you. Well, usually when a movie gets previewed, things like that, there are obviously reshots done. In most cases, it's to repair things or to try and get some reshots done to get a rating from like an R down to a PG-13.
Right, right.
Well, apparently, things have gone a little bit differently for Snakes on a Plane. This month, New Line Cinema's Snakes on a Plane, which wrapped principal photography in September in Vancouver, went back before the cameras for 5 days for additional shooting at a lot in Los Angeles.
Okay.
However, it wasn't for the usual sort of reshoots. Rather, the studio decided to create new scenes that would take the movie from a PG-13 to an R rating. The
nice.
Second round of filming also came about because of intense and growing fan interest in the movie. So guys like Ain't It Cool News and FARC have driven this thing on even higher.
Wow.
I'm telling you, this is going to be fucking great.
It's going to be the worst movie ever.
Shut
everybody's
up. It'll
gonna
be
go,
the greatest
no,
movie
everybody's going to say, this movie was horrible. What were we thinking? I'm going to watch when everybody's let down. Anyhow, the next thing. Oh, my God. I just swallowed the water funky. Isaac Hayes did not quit South Park now. The rumors have it that Isaac Hayes is really in no position to have quit anything. Contrary to news reports, the writer and singer-musician suffered a stroke on January 17th. At the time, it was said that he was hospitalized and suffering from exhaustion. It also is ridiculous to think that Hayes, who loved playing chef on South Park, would suddenly turn against the show because they were poking fun at Scientology. Last November, when the Trapped in a Closet episode of the comedy aired, you saw Hayes and this guy who's writing this saw Hayes and spent time with him, and Hayes even played Chocolate Salty Balls during the little benefit show.
And you remember we had the clip on the show last week of Hayes on Opie and Anthony talking about how, you know, about that specific episode.
Here's the rumor. Here is absolutely the rumor. You ready for this?
Okay.
Hayes didn't quit. Scientology took advantage of him not being able to communicate with people or being sick, and they quit for him.
I heard that. It was actually whoever wrote it was a fashion designer or
something like that.
Assistant to somebody?
Spankwagon Radio, you're on the air.
You have no idea about movie making, man. Snakes on a Plane is going to be the summer blockbuster.
Exactly. See?
How do you figure that it's going to be a fucking blockbuster?
Dude, it's Snakes.
I'm telling you right now.
On a
Snakes
plane.
On a Plane is great. Number one, okay, it's got a stupid fucking title that makes you want to see it. Okay?
Right.
Granted, it's self-explanatory, so we know there's no M. Night fucking Shyamalan fucking twist.
okay, all right.
Now, sure, there may be some fucking CGI, but it's not going to be cheesy explosions.
Okay.
And it's got Sam Jackson saying, get these motherfucking snakes off my motherfucking plane.
If that's the only goddamn line, though,
dude.
What's the rest?
No, man.
Okay.
Dude, you know, there's a shot of a guy taking a snake and beating the hell out of somebody with it while he's laying on the stairs.
Okay.
That fucking rocks. Dude. Okay, and you know Sam Jackson at least got to say, goddamn, at least once.
At least once.
Yes, it's Sam Jackson. Dude.
I mean, the only movie he's never said that in is Star Wars.
I'm sure it's in the outtakes.
I think that'd be great if it was. Star Wars could have been better if the lightsaber said bad motherfucker on it.
Exactly.
That's all I'm saying there.
Do you see that lightsaber right there? Yeah, that one right there. Turn that over. Look
I'm
at it.
Right now,
what does it say?
On a plane is going to be fucking great.
I don't agree.
And there's not a goddamn thing you could do about it.
Dude, it's going to right up there with Evil Dead. Fucking,
yeah, I agree.
You know, it's going to be one of those cult classic movies.
I mean, Evil Dead, you know, that's one thing. But Snakes on a Plane, I mean, Evil Dead, though, it didn't sound so hokey. I mean, granted, the technology and
dude,
the story
Army of Darkness
was hokey. But fucking Snakes on a Plane, you have the entire plot, the story. You know, the only thing you're missing is the ending.
So?
And I don't know. It just seems too simple for me. I mean, I don't know.
Hold on. Dude,
even Porky's. Porky's was one of those dumb films and... It went somewhere.
Well, hold on. Let's go ahead. Let's get this straight, man. Check this out. Imagine if we knew then what we know now about movies like Evil Dead.
Right.
When Evil Dead would have got released in the theater, dude, it would have been like Star Wars Episode 1 or 2 or even 3, okay?
Right.
It would have been that big. Snakes on a Plane is going to be the same way. What's going to happen is you're going to have the hardcore people like basically myself and Murph there. Okay, we're going to go see this shit because we know that this movie is going to be automatic guilty pleasure.
Oh, yeah.
So what's going to happen is this thing is going to have like an incredible surge at the box office. Doesn't fucking matter what happens from there because, number one, it makes a lot of money. People are going to go, oh, my God, maybe I should go see that.
Right.
Now, fucking Ebert and Roper, whatever the fuck his name is, whichever one's alive now, says that it sucks. That entices more people because, after all, he's a film critic. He's a pompous ass. People are going to want to see this.
Right, okay.
There will be a buzz. Oh, Snakes on the Plane. I heard fucking Jimmy, who lives in the basement, 35 years old, talking really positive about that movie. It should be really good.
Great. So you're telling me we should all trust Harry Knowles and Ain't It Cool News?
No.
No, dude, you should trust
Harry Knowles.
The planet. Look, at every geek site out there right now is flipping out over this movie because it's just going to be fucking awesome.
I don't know. I guess I just – maybe I can't wrap my head around it. Maybe I have different expectations.
Dude, there are some movies you go to that you think about. There are other movies you go to, you shut your brain off for 2 hours, and you sit there and go, that's a snake on a motherfucking plane.
And there's not a goddamn thing you can do about it.
Exactly.
Okay. So you were going to say, Claude.
I'm telling you right now. I think what it is it's going to take on like a viral advertising.
Well, absolutely that's what it's taken on.
I know. I'm sure Murph probably read the same articles I did about that, too, that was posted on FARC.
Yep.
And they were absolutely right. They said that they've not seen any level of viral advertising for a movie like this since the Blair Witch Project. And at the same time, this shit was just wasn't even intended, okay? I mean, they even said the studio themselves said, Snakes on a Plane, are you fucking kidding me? All right? They were just like, oh, my God, what the fuck are we wasting our money on? I think Snakes on a Plane, honestly, is going to be the real life version of the producers.
Yep.
I think Snakes on a Plane is going to be the real life version of Springtime for Hitler.
Oh, in other words, yep. Basically, we're going to make a movie so bad that people will love it.
This movie is going to be
what The Ringer was supposed to be.
Or a movie that we're going to try to make bad, but turn around and people are just going to love it. Against, you know, we're going to attempt to make a failure, but against all of our best efforts, we're going
to
succeed.
No, they're not
going
to attempt to make a failure. You're going to take a movie that's destined to be a failure, and thanks to a bunch of fucking nerds, it's going to be probably the greatest grossing movie of all time.
Right. And the reason here is, it's not that Hollywood's setting out to make a bad movie. It's just Hollywood right now, it's fucking grating on their nerves, like when I call a violin a fiddle and cringe fucking cringes. That's how bad it is. I mean, the fucking studio's like Snakes on a fucking Plane. Are you kidding?
So in other words, you're telling me that I think I see where you're going with this. Let me add a little bit to it then. What we're looking at with Snakes on a Plane is something to combat all the let's make a TV show into a movie, let's remake another movie yet again kind of attitude.
Yeah.
Dude, I mean, absolutely. I mean, you know, Snakes on a Plane, dude, it's fucking, it's a goofy-ass title, dude. I mean, you got to be honest, man. Who would not want to be in a movie called Snakes on a Plane? All right, especially.
Well, I got a point. You got a point there.
Snakes on a Plane is the William Hung of movies. There it is, right there.
I won't go that far because William Hung is a joke, I think Snakes on a Plane is just going to be a guilty pleasure kind of cult classic. I agree fully. I think Snakes on a Plane is going to be the same level as Evil Dead, except for we're going to know about this before it comes out.
Yeah,
there's a lot of people going to go see Snakes on a Plane and go, God damn, what the fuck did I just see? And there will be other people who, dude, like me, okay, I'll be honest with you, I'm tired of going out and seeing a shitty movie, okay, that I, in the sense that I'm promised this is going to be a good movie, and it turns out to be shitty. I want fucking something bad. Dude, I want fucking peanut butter, tobacco, and pork rind crunch. Ben and Jerry's flavor ice cream.
There you
something
go.
That is fucking, I know is going to be bad and unhealthy.
Okay.
Hence, I want to go out and see Snakes on a Plane.
I know guys that have sworn up and down that they will not pirate this movie. I know places where you can get this stuff that have sworn, doesn't matter who does it, doesn't matter who gets a cam, a release, a screener, doesn't matter. They will not pirate this movie because they will take it and they want this to be the most popular movie of all time. They
or like the most grossing.
Yeah,
no doubt.
Oh, this movie's going to be huge. It's going to be incredible. Hmm.
And it's all based upon the viral marketing of nerds and geeks.
Yep.
But the problem is, dude, it wasn't intended that way.
No, it just, I mean, these guys latched onto it.
Blair Witch Project, when they did their viral marketing for that movie right there.
Well, Blair Witch Project didn't have the best of viral marketing because it was, what, 97? The internet wasn't where it is now.
No, Blair Witch Project came out in 99.
99?
99, yeah, wow. Early 99. No, I'm... see, Blair Witch Project was different because Blair Witch Project, the viral marketing of that was like trying to say, well, this is a true story that you don't know about. And people are like, okay, and they try to research stuff. And the only place you could find anything about it on the Internet was, you know,
on
their
the
website.
Sites that they created.
And it was very well laid out. The problem we have there is, you know, ever since then, people have always tried to do some sort of fucking viral marketing.
You know, like when they originally did The Ring here, when they remade The Ring, Sony left the video cassette. They left it all over clubs, all over movie theaters. They would leave these tapes everywhere, and it was these tapes actually did start circulating throughout most of California. The difference between this viral marketing and the viral marketing of other movies is that they didn't intend for this to happen. They just decided to make a movie. And
right.
I honestly do believe it was because of FARC that this movie has become...
I'll agree.
I will
concur with that 100%.
Okay.
I mean, the thing about it is, yeah, dude, the studio doesn't know what to make of this. I mean, this is literally, the reason Snakes on a Plane is going to be great, in my opinion, is, dude, this is a chance where online geeks have gotten a chance to actually dictate what should be in a movie. I mean, dude, let's face it. Sure. I mean, typically, you want a movie to go to R rating. What do? You throw in some nudity or some gratuitous violence. Dude. They had to refilm simply so Samuel L. Jackson could say lines that people wanted him to say online.
It's like an inverse test marketing group. It's absolutely great.
Hmm. Basically, it's they're making the movie that they think people want to see and actually listening to those people.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. The only problem that I have is I think after this, you know, people are really going to stretch. We're going to see like fucking... you know, snakes on a train or some shit like that. You know what I mean?
Dude, that's the only way it can
badgers
go.
Badgers on a Winnebago.
Yeah, and I think what's going to happen after that, yeah, it'll be like fucking snakes on the speed bus, okay?
The sequels will suck because the sequels...
Slinkies on an escalator.
Exactly. They'll count on this, but this is like one of those one-hit wonder... one-shot deal. It can only happen once, and lightning isn't going to strike again. As many other cliches as you want to throw into this, it'll never happen again.
Well, that's
never.
Possible.
I wouldn't say it's never going to happen again.
Oh, it'll happen again.
Just not like this.
It'll be a long time. I mean, come on, let's face it, dude. Seriously, who's a fucking action star nowadays? Like, if you go to Ruthless, I believe it's ruthlessreviews.com on their fucking 80s action film review section. You know, they talk about 80s action films, and you look, and it's like the same fucking people over and over again.
No,
we got Schwarzenegger. We got Stallone. Okay. We got these two guys, and then you got other fucking action stars and stuff like that.
Dude, you're forgetting Eric Roberts and Jan Michael Vincent.
Jan Michael Vincent wasn't much of an action, but Eric Roberts sort of was, and the dude from the American Ninja series.
Right. Now, you tell me something right now, seriously. Who's a fucking action star nowadays?
The Rock.
We don't have action stars. The Rock.
I'm going to say The Rock. You know, I just sat last night. My wife and I enjoyed watching Walking Tall yet again. The Rock makes... movies, action movies, that are rewatchable. Even if they are fucking remakes.
We watched Doom this week, and I was horrified at how badly they fucked up a great story, but The Rock is probably the only action icon we have right now. I would have said Colin Farrell if it wasn't for the fact that I've seen the previews of Miami Vice, and wanted to stab myself in the eye.
Yeah, it looks horrible.
Yeah, I gotta be honest. I think Colin Farrell, aside from soliciting oral sex from like 90-year-old women, and making shit like Miami Vice. Colin Farrell has fucking shot himself in the foot.
He was
Colin
great
Farrell
as Bullseye.
Had done Daredevil and had that badass little Bullseye image that everyone remembered him by, dude, he'd have been fucking fine.
Dude, and, Bullseye was awesome. Holy shit.
Phone Booth was awesome.
Phone Booth was great, but don't. Dude, you can't take anything away from Daredevil. If you can just kind of ignore everything outside of Ben Affleck's like acting career...
Yeah.
And some of the bad writing that movie had, Daredevil was a great movie. I mean, it had Kevin Smith in it, for crying out loud.
Yes, as Kirby.
Well, yeah, Daredevil, the only reason I think Daredevil sucked was because of Ben Affleck.
Yeah.
I'd be perfect on it. I think Casey Affleck is a far superior actor.
Yeah, but all I can think of is him and Good Will Hunting jacking off into a baseball mat.
Well, good for you, because all I can think of is just fucking Ocean's 11. I'm glad I have that picture.
Nice.
I gotta be honest with you. I think what we're looking at with Snakes on a Plane is, like I say, we don't have any action stars nowadays. I mean, Vin Diesel is a fucking classically trained, and now he's going in
to a fucking, you know, legitimate drama that he's getting great reviews for.
And, you know, the interesting thing about Vin Diesel is he is a geek. Like, he is an RPG-er.
He's a D&D nerd. And he bought back the rights for Chronicles of Riddick. Did you see that?
Yes.
He bought back the rights for Chronicles of Riddick. He bought them back from New Line Cinema. When he originally wanted to do Chronicles of Riddick, he walked into New Line with three big binders. They all had padlocks on them. The one for Chronicles of Riddick was open. The other two, he said, I'll give you the keys to those once you guys let me make them my way. And they refused to do it, so he bought the rights back for them.
Interesting. So, you know.
I'm telling you right now, okay, seriously, Snakes on a Plane is going to do good.
I'm telling you, 15 Oscar nominations.
It's going to be a great cult film, and I'm just going to honestly tell you right now, dude, I think that I think we're going to see, you know, a cult film before it comes out. The reason I like the premise of Snakes on a Plane is, number one, it's Samuel L. Jackson. The guy is a fucking character of himself.
Right.
Especially when he's going to say these kind of fucking lines, all
exactly.
right? Exactly. Now, take that into effect that, okay, we're on a plane and it's snakes.
Well, okay, Claude.
There's not going to be stupid fucking car crashes.
Exactly. It's not going to be stupid car crashes. You know what? It's going to be very, very similar, very reminiscent of Air Force One.
Mm-hmm.
Which was another film that you were able to do an action film on one single airplane.
They almost did that with Executive Decision.
Oh, Executive Decision as well.
But a lot of that was actually two planes.
You know what, dude? You know why I like Executive Decision? Steven Seagal died.
Yeah, he died in like the first 15 minutes. That fucking rocked.
Great. All right, Claude, thanks for the call.
You got it.
And we will
talk to you later, man.
Good evening, gentlemen.
Have a good evening. All right. So, yeah, Claude sharing a lot of, I mean.
I'm telling you, man.
You know, and you're right. It is all viral marketing all the time.
It's guerrilla marketing at its finest.
Guerrilla marketing.
Guerrilla.
Gorilla la la.
I know we only have a couple minutes left. I got a couple minutes I can do some stuff.
Actually, we only have a minute left.
All right. Well, then I'll hit just one. Today, a federal judge told Bonds to, quote unquote, suck it, bitch. Judge denies Bonds' request to block profits of the book. It's really kind of interesting. The book Game of Shadows has come out. I do believe it came out on Thursday.
Yeah.
Bonds' lawyers went in a move today to sue, to block the publisher or the profits of the book. Their case was that it was the documents were illegally obtained. Notice nowhere in the lawsuit does it say libel, falsehoods, lies, degradation of character. Nowhere. All they're going after them for is the fact that they obtained documents illegally, which a judge today told them that they were wrong and denied the request. Hmm. This just further proof that Barry Bonds knows what he's done and can't bring himself quite right to lie about it yet. Sheffield lied about it, and it's going to get him. Giambi tried to lie about it, and he's apologized and actually came back. I wouldn't say he's a baseball hero, but I think this is very telling. Do not be surprised if something happens to Bonds within the first 2 weeks of the season, and he is out for the rest of the season and thus retires.
Well, you know, you called it. We'll see what definitely happens. And this is depressing. Look at the time.
I know, dude. There's so much stuff more we can talk about.
Ladies and gentlemen, you have been listening to the greatest internet radio show ever.
Snakes on a Plane. Spankwagon Radio.
I've been your host, Trencher.
And I'm Murphy.
We do have a lot of people we want to thank for basically getting us out here every single week. Want to say a big thank you to all of our syndicates. Let's start off with Extreme Radio 1077.
Extreme.
Flash FM. Fox FM. KC Host Radio Network, LV Rocks, who also provides us with his kick-ass studio where we fart in the chairs every week.
Oh, hell yeah.
Big thank you to Mega Rock Radio, Radio for Me, and Extreme Radio.
Extreme!
Remember, folks, if we're not live,
you'll find us in the archive.
And you can also find us at podcasts.lvrocks.com. Remember, folks, check spankwagon.net. Contribute to the site, put up your own stories, add your own comments, play along with the fuckers on that page.
Yeah, we'll put the leprechaun story up later on.
Oh, yeah, so you can see that artist sketch. It's awesome. Again, we want to say a thank you to Friends of Spankwagon, All Star Felons, Ars Anime, Where the Dick Jokes Run Rampant, Daily Noise, Riff Revolution, Subject to Discussion, and VFTP. Now, one more time, I've been your host, Trencher.
And I'm Murphy.
Don't forget to check your syndicates for Spankwagon playtimes and replay times. Everybody have a good night.
Retards.
Out. See ya.
Nevada. You're listening to LV Rocks. Noise from Vegas.